Father, as we open up your word, we know that your word is truth. We ask that you would guide us into the truth of your word, that you would help it to come alive in our hearts so that we might be changed in our lives to walk in your ways and to glorify you. And for this, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to move on and move forward in this area of learning to deal with life, with its trials, with its struggles, with its problems, learning to do so biblically, which is God's way, the only way that will satisfy, the only way that's real, the only way that will result in real change, change which sometimes we know we need, but we don't like change because change makes us uncomfortable. We may be looking at that here in the future on what it takes to change biblically and what God expects and how that's going to work. But I want us to see the answers that His Word has for us to apply to daily living. Daily living, God comes right into our daily life. The Bible is written for our daily living so that it affects everything that we do. We've got to realize how true that is, not just with our heads, but with our hearts, and do it. We know a lot of things, but do we do the things that we know? We saw last time, as we saw about our attitudes, we saw also the problem of envy, the problem of brooding or pouting over things, self-pity, and the danger that that brings. We've looked at forgiveness, the giving and the receiving of it, anger, when it's sin, when it's not sin, how to deal with anger, and those types of things. And so if these things aren't dealt with, if these things aren't dealt with biblically, they're going to lead to depression. Depression today seems to be misunderstood, and therefore it's not approached properly in order to gain the victory over it in life. So before we look at this problem of depression, I want to remind us of how important it is to develop, maintain, and keep a good biblical attitude. That has to be, it's a must. If this is worked on in your life, then depression will never be an ongoing problem for you. Now, the problem exists in this. You have the secular and you have the spiritual. You have the secular, which has been given spiritual coding, and it doesn't work. You have God's way, and it works. Why? Because He created you, and He knows you. We have to keep in mind the biblical makeup of man. And we're going to look into this, Lord willing, about the biblical makeup of who we are, because that's what helps us understand how and what can solve the problems of life. The biblical makeup of man is so key. Secular side doesn't go there. It goes in the opposite direction, and it causes more problems than it does good because it refuses to acknowledge the fact of who we are, how we got here, how we were created, and how we're made up. So what causes depression in a person's life? Well, the answer is not simple, nor is there a single cause. Almost anything can be at the root, and that's a key word, at the root of a person becoming depressed. If you've been really sick, if you've gotten behind, way behind in your work, you can get depressed. Hormonal changes, loss of money or possessions or job, loss of a loved one, all those types of things. But remember, any type of loss still must be dealt with biblically. Guilt over sin or sins committed. Guilt is a great contributor to a person becoming depressed. Negligence. This can be from things recent or things in our past. Jealousy can cause depression. Self-pity, worry, bad feelings that come from resentment over someone or situations. So it's a complex issue. It's not real simple, but the remedy is there for us. Some have suggested, and it sounds, and it makes good sense, that housewives and pastors who have, and those of like kind of responsibilities, they have a place for this to happen maybe more often because they don't have a schedule. They don't have a certain set of things. You come in, you do this, 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 and this, and go home. You know, a housewife doesn't have that. She's got a zillion things that have to be done. A pastor has all kinds of things that can be done. Certain things have deadlines. People that are that have no clear-cut responsibility on a daily basis can be more prone to being depressed because so many of the things that they have on their schedules, they're not assigned so that they're specific, and when they don't get accomplished, things can go wrong. Many people go to work. They have agendas. They go in. The tasks are set before them. The job is set before them. The bosses say, do this, this, and this. They punch in, and they punch out, knowing that they've completed what's needed to be done. Those who have to set their own agendas often fall short because so often their agendas can be interrupted and disrupted by any number of things. And so that can lead to a sense of lack of completion, and therefore they're prone possibly to be more depressed at times if not careful, because all of these things pile up, all these things are bearing weight, all these things are contributing to what's going on in their mind. Something important to remember is that depression doesn't result from any one of these things that we've talked about. It comes from a cycle of things, and a cycle begins. There's a cycle, and this happens, and then this, and then this, and then this, and the cycle continues to go, and the cycle continues to revolve. Sometimes it gets faster, and pretty soon the cycle has a downward spiral to it. And as that happens, we realize that this cycle of problems is there to enhance the things that are going on. And so this cycle of things there begins really, though, with a mishandling of the initial problem. The initial problem. The root problem. And that is, again, so key to keep in mind. The root cause, the root problem. If not dealt with properly, this allows a pattern, or it allows that cycle of the problem to become bigger and bigger and bigger. But the problem with this is that usually when somebody has some problems, they talk about the problems and they deal with the surface problems, which is like putting a Band-Aid on it. And they feel better for a bit because the surface problems are gone. And the attention is on the surface problems, and they go away thinking everything is good, but the root problem continues to grow. The root problem is still there. It's like a spiral going downward, or a drain, or a whirlpool, that when you get stuck in it, that whirlpool wants to suck you down. As you continue to mishandle the problem or problems, you focus on that issue more and more and more, which becomes that brooding or that pouting or that moping over it, and it seems to grow in size, and your despair also grows. They all go hand in hand. One of the misunderstandings in the area of depression is that Christians are taught or told that that has nothing to do with sin or your choices in life. And that's not true. That's just not true. So if this is ignored, then a solution is not going to be found, and relief is going to be lost. Turn in your Bibles back to that scripture reading we read in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. David gives us a hint, and he gives us a clue to these things because he experienced them just like we do. And he says there in verses 3 and 4, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat." How many of you have ever been out in the summertime working and working and working and working? All of a sudden, you begin to realize, hey, man, I don't feel right. I don't feel good. I haven't been drinking water. I've been out in this hot sun. I've been out in this heat. And you realize it's time to get some water. It's time to go sit down in the shade. David said, that's the pressure that I'm feeling. And what was the things that were going on? Well, he was covering up. He was denying things that were happening in his life. He was covering over those things. He wasn't dealing with the root cause, with the root issue, with the root problem in those things. David found out that hidden sin or unconfessed sin causes depression in a person. When not dealt with, the problem moves from being a problem into a faulty, sinful response, which leads to a cycle, and then we get into that whirlpool of things in life. And this makes the problem worse, and the spiral continues downward, pulling us down. You feel helpless, and you feel the despair that's growing. Well, what needs to happen in this case is that the spiral needs to be reversed. Instead of a spiral downward that sucks us down like a drain, we need instead a spiral that brings us up like the spiral of a tornado that spins and spins and pulls us up instead of the downward trend. And we need to accept and we need to apply the Lord's righteousness to our lives. We have no righteousness in ourselves, do we? The Bible says our righteousness are like dirty, filthy, rotten rags. We need to apply His righteousness. And we need to, when we do that, it takes on a whole new meaning to us. Our lives take on a whole new meaning. And so when we do that, we begin to develop a biblical view, a biblical worldview, which needs to be done. And as you do, you'll be doing more of the right things, and a new outlook is developed in your life. And as a result of a new outlook, things in this perspective begin to grow. Remember the Lindberger cheese in Grandpa's mustache last week? How everything stunk and the whole world stunk? Well, we get the Lindberger out, we put the joy of the Lord in our mustache or under our nose, and we realize that that joy of the Lord makes a difference when we do things right. So when a problem comes into your life, we are to meet it and we're to solve it biblically. This strengthens us in dealing with the next area that's going to come along. And it's going to come along as long as you're breathing, because there's another problem around the corner, there's another situation around the corner just waiting. But the thing we have to remember is this needs to be done first and immediately, dealing with it biblically. We have to do it immediately. And usually what happens is what? We delay. And we delay. And the longer you delay dealing with it, guess what? It begins to take root. And the thing begins to spin. And it begins to suck you down. If you fail to do this, you're going to stay locked on yourself, which is self-pity. Your problems and your downward cycle is going to enslave you. And instead of hope, you become hopeless. And the guilt there, which leads you into continued depression. Because now you feel guilty because you're hopeless. Now you're just adding more stuff to it. You feel guilty because you feel this way. You're feeling guilty about this. You're feeling guilty about that. And it just adds to the problem and pulls you down. God's Word is full of warnings about making sure that we don't allow sin habits, because that's what begins to happen. When we allow sin habits into our lives, they become part of us and they begin to pull us down. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, the wisdom that Solomon wrote to us with in that fifth chapter, and starting at verse 21. Verses 21 and 22. He says, "For a man's ways are before the Lord's eyes." In other words, why try and hide it? Why try and think you're getting away with it? A man's ways are before the Lord's eyes, and He considers all his paths. A wicked man's iniquities entrap him, and he's entangled in the ropes of what? His own sins, his own mess, the things that he's created. The reason we're warned to stay away from allowing sinful habits to form in our lives is so that they don't become a pattern, which becomes very hard to break. Habits are hard to break. If you don't break them early, they're like a vice. It keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and it holds on to us and don't want to let go. And when this happens, the downward spiral begins to drag you with it, and you're entrapped. Probably one of the first cases of depression in the Bible, after what Adam and Eve must have went through and felt, came with Cain in his life and the things that went on with him. And you see that in Genesis chapter 4, where these things happen. And Cain illustrates a clear picture for us of one who's caught in a downward spiral. And if you look at verses 3 through 7 of Genesis 4, it says, in the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious, and notice what it says, and he looked despondent. That look begins to take, that attitude begins to show on your face, begins to show in your life. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so furious? Now, God knew. He's asking, this is a kind of a rhetorical question, so Cain faces his reality. Why are you so furious? And why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. It's interesting to note that God saw the change in Cain's countenance. You can see the change in people. You can see their things on their face, and you say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And you look at their face and you think, no, you're not. There was a song that was on the radio, I don't know what, Truth Be Told. You know, I'm fine when I'm not. Makes us what? A liar, and then we feel guilty about that. And that just adds to the downward spiral because we're telling people that we're okay when we're not, instead of saying, you know what, things aren't going so well. I'd really appreciate prayer, and maybe I can talk to you about this. That's the beginning of solving those issues and those problems. You see, it's an interesting thing. God noticed it. Verses 6 and 7, he says, Cain, he said, what's going on with you, man? He says, I see that you're not looking so good. And then he tells him, and he talks to him. God saw this continued attitude where it would lead. And the same is true in our lives. God knows our attitude. He knows what's going on in life. And he lovingly warns us in his word about having the right responses to life and the problems that we're going to face. God, as he always does, offered hope to Cain. Just like he's always offering hope to us. God always reaches out with hope. Always offers us hope. He tells Cain, the spiral can be reversed. Your heart needs to be lifted up as opposed to being depressed. The key is for Cain to do what is right. And what would be right for Cain was right for us. Repent, change will then come to our heart. Repent of those things, change will then come. If Cain or if you or I refuse to repent, then watch out, because depression is going to seek to control you. The advice from God is you must rule over it. You must master it. This means you need to control it. You must have dominion over it, which again gives us hope in just that. Because if that's what he's saying, that shows us I can overcome. I can beat this. I can be victorious in this. I can move forward in this. And that's what God wants of all of his children, is that they be overcomers. He doesn't want us being downtrodden, beaten down. He wants us to be overcomers. We should never let our emotions control our lives. They play a role in our lives, but they are not to sit in the driver's seat. They are not to control us. Failure to repent means sin remains, means things aren't changed, and this is still going to bring that guilt into your life, which can lead to being depressed. If you fail to do what's right with sin, it's going to lead you into deeper depression, and the spiral continues down. And you know, as a spiral goes, the smaller it gets faster, doesn't it, as it sucks us down. The same truth applies to us today. When sin creates guilt in our lives, it won't be long before depression sets in if we don't deal with it. And so the message is, deal with every problem biblically when it starts. Don't let it get a hold. Don't let it get root. Don't let it go. Look again at David's life. And he had a different outlook on life, and the problems he had in his life. If you go back to that 32nd Psalm, verse 4, he says, "For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was drained as in the heat of summer." David felt like God was even using his depressed state, and he will, to get his attention and to show him the need to repent and to change his ways. That is the proper outlook that we need to have. The guilt from his sin was going to do a number on him. God knew it. He was dehydrated. He had no saliva. He was dry in the mouth, which is a bodily response to anxiety and being down and depressed. And Psalm 51 is kind of a continuation of another aspect of what David experienced in his life. Psalm 51, verse 3, he says, "For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me." In other words, that's all he could see is, man, this is always here. This is always tearing me up. This is always eating at me. This is always doing a number on me. This is always affecting me. And that's what he was seeing, and that's what he was dealing with. David, like many people, know why they're in trouble, even if they're not admitting it at first. They know deep down inside. So your conscience goes to work on you, and it begins to point out something that's not right. Something's not right here. It needs to be dealt with. That's why it's so important to keep your conscience soft. So important to keep our conscience tender. Because if you ignore these things long enough, you begin the downward spiral into being depressed. Your conscience gets hard. Your conscience gets calloused. David finally cries out to God, and he asks for that help and that strength that he sees he needs in his life. And in Psalm 51, verse 8, he says, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." In other words, when I do what's right, you're going to bring that healing. You're going to bring that help. These verses show us the effects on the body that can come from sin and come from problems that aren't solved and dealt with. It's going to take a toll on us, not just spiritually, but emotionally, mentally, and physically. Things like pressure from guilt feelings, the bones that feel like they're broke, all show the effects of pressure that God can place on a person or allows on a person who rejects his ways, so it gets their attention. Pain gets our attention. Physical pain gets our attention. We call the doctor. We want to know what's wrong. Emotional pain gets our attention. We need to go to God's word. Why is this happening? Why are these things happening in my emotional life? You know, this brought David to the end of his rope and put himself into total despair and total depression. And in Psalm chapter 38, we read these things in verses 17 and 18. He says, "For I'm about to fall, and my pain is constantly with me. So I confess my guilt. I am anxious because of my sin." You know, it causes anxiety too in our lives because of that guilt, because of that gnawing that's going on. So God, in Psalm 51, in Psalm 38, in Psalm 32, he shows us the types of anxiety and depression with the same type of physical distress, the same type of emotional pain that comes across. They were all caused by that unconfessed sin in his life, not dealing with life situations biblically, not dealing with them right away. And if you go back to Psalm 32, the problem was initiated there when David said, "When I kept silent, this is what began to happen." So what's the key to relief that David found? Well, it's in verses 5 through 7. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you at a time that you may be found. When the great floodwaters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance." That's a whole lot better thing to be thinking about and be consumed with than looking at, oh, my problem, oh, poor me. You see, the majority of depression is caused by guilt in a person's life, whether it's real guilt or whether it's false guilt, because false guilt is there. The enemy loves to use false guilt in a Christian's life. God is gracious in providing clear guidance in the Psalms for dealing with depression. You see, the world has the totally opposite approach. And it's going to take you on a road that you don't want to travel on if you want to try and solve your problems their way. It's going to take you on that road, and you don't want to go down it. Confession. Confession of sin, confession of guilt, confession of wrong. All those things bring relief and restored happiness to a person's life. When a person confesses, they acknowledge and they admit that they've sinned or that they have problems or that they've had lack of forgiveness or that they've had, you know, resentments, that they've done these things and had these things in their life. When they release those things, it's amazing what happens. The way we were created makes it work this way. That's why God's way works. 1 John 1:9 makes it clear, doesn't it? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession and forgiveness that come through Christ will relieve the pressures that come from the somatic effects of sin in our lives. Unless depression is caused by an organic cause, which it can be, like a disease, a chemical disorder, a tumor, an accident, some of these things, brain damage, glandular problems, all of which are very real and can cause depression, but the majority of depression isn't caused by that. The majority of depression is caused by the guilt and the emotional side and those types of things that need to be dealt with, the unresolved problems. The various types of depression that people get into, really, they don't need to. They don't have to go through that if the root problem would be dealt with God's way and done quickly, not procrastinated on. We need to understand that depression is not inevitable. It's not something that just happens and can't be avoided in a person's life. Oh, it's hiding around the corner and it jumps on you. No, it doesn't happen. There is never a hopeless case where the depression is so deep that it can't be reversed, because there's nothing hopeless with God. There's always possibility. There's always hope. The cycle can always be changed by putting biblical action through the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. You see, if depression was some strange force that comes over people that they're not responsible for and can do nothing about, there's no hope. All hope would vanish. But people actually believe, and they use that excuse, they play the role, they use it as an excuse to avoid work, to avoid responsibilities, to avoid relationships, to avoid something else, and they say, well, I'm depressed. Well, that's an avoidance thing that they've developed because they think it works. So even if a person may be directly responsible for the initial problem, in other words, and if they're not directly responsible, in other words, a physical illness, a loss, either a loved one, a financial loss, a job, we're still responsible to respond and deal with it God's way, irregardless of what the cause is or who the cause is. So if you don't, and instead you react in that sinful way, complaining, moping about it, getting into self-pity, neglecting your duties, neglecting your responsibilities, the results of this are going to lead you down the spiral. This type of depression is caused by the spiral of complicating factors. And it's not a direct result of the initial problem. If the initial problem was dealt with, you know, the initial problem is there, but it begins to pick up baggage. And it picks up more and more baggage on the way down. When the root problem is not handled properly, as I've mentioned, guilt with all of its miseries are then going to be added to it. And all that root problem is just going to grow and going to grow. If you continue to ignore God's way of dealing with this, that downward spiral is going to get stronger, and it's going to get stronger, and that suction is going to, you're going to sense it in emotional life, in your life. And so the best thing to do is to always respond to whatever comes your way according to God's word, quickly. Don't let the cycle begin in the first place. Say, I've seen this before, I've learned, I'm not getting into that cycle. Not going to let this happen again. And commit to living biblically and responding biblically to all the events of life. It doesn't happen instantly. I wish it did. I wish there was a a pill we could take in the morning, a vitamin, we could just pop it in there, the Bible pill, it's all going to happen automatic. No, we have to learn it and we have to do it. So to handle this problem and solve it, we have to do it God's way. How do we do that? Just a few things. Number one, admit and confess. Any and all actions, thoughts, sin, whatever, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Secondly, realize that God has the answers. There's hope in Him. Because the thing that lacks the most in somebody who's down is hope. There's hope in Him to get the victory. Number three, stop the cycle at the earliest stage of that downward spiral. Fourth, commit to behaving and acting in a godly way, even if you don't feel like it. As we saw, that's not hypocrisy. That's doing what you're supposed to do, even if you don't feel like it. Number five, apply Scripture, especially the Psalms, to your lives. Apply the Scriptures. And then sixth, if you need to talk to someone who can give you biblical guidance and counsel, do it. Get the advice. Maybe you're missing something and they can see it. But most importantly is not to let it get started in the first place by letting self-pity and pouting about it stay in your life. Learn to live godly. Learn to live biblically. Learn to live in obedience to God's word every day. Get rid of the guilt in your life by confessing it to the Lord and repenting of it. Deal with forgiveness. Deal with anger. Deal with those things. With the Lord's help, seek daily to walk in the Spirit, doing all the things that bring glory to God. And then let the joy of the Lord be your daily, moment-by-moment strength. And He's there to give that to us if we'll trust Him. Father, we thank You for life. We thank You for our emotions that You've given us. They have a role. They play a place in our lives. But they're not to control us. They're not to lead us. They're not to destroy us. So help us, Lord, to learn to look at life and to face it biblically each and every time we encounter issues or problems or trials, so that You're glorified, so that the victory is won, and so that You are the one that is getting the credit for the changes that will take place in our lives. Help us to master it, as You told Cain to do, and help us to do it through Your strength and power. We'll give You praise in Your name. Amen.